Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
It's gold!
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm composing an I'm Carrie.
And I'm Luke.
And this is Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Yes.
Episode number 55, December 29th, 2011. What did Dan and his brother Tristan say? The perineum of the year. The space between the balls and the asshole. Or if you're a woman, it's the space between the vagina and the asshole.
Taint nothing wrong with that.
And we just earned our explicit tag.
Earn it. Anyway, hi. So, yeah, it's a show that we're suddenly recording. It's Thursday night, which typically we don't do our show on Thursday night for multiple reasons, one of which being that I record the Fumpcast on Thursday night. So this time around, we most definitely have to get this podcast done within the next 1 hour and 40 minutes, because then I have to start recording another podcast. So
yep.
This podcast will contain less than that amount of talking.
Yay!
So, speaking of talking, Carrie, what's new in your life as listed on this list? And
well, we went to Doohan Con, which was a private party at Matt and Tara. Hey, a private party at Matt and Tara Doohan's house that they call a con because there's a lot of people there, and White Elephant was fun, and Bill Putt used the laser cutter at I3 to make nifty boxes that everybody was clamoring after, and there was three boxes, okay? Wooden boxes that had laser designs that said Doohan Con White Elephant 2011 on them.
Sweet.
And a Christmas tree that Bill made. And then, like, put a little ribbon on it. So, like, since they were custom made like that, they were the most sought after gift. Because in his version of the White Elephant, it's all done before you open it. You don't do stealing and stuff after opening it. So mm-hmm. It's all based on what the gift looks like. Mm-hmm. So we already know, we want this box, blah, blah, blah. So I'm having a problem where my number's not coming up, so I'm not getting to choose gifts hardly ever. When I finally, my number does come up, I steal one of the three boxes from somebody. And Josh ends up with the box at some point too, which, you know, makes everybody mad that, you know, the married couple has two of the three boxes. And then, you know, people kept stealing it from him because he had more than one gift. basically I just came up with this tactic where I would only take boxes when my number came up, so that because you can't take a gift from someone who has only one gift. That's okay. So I was using that to my advantage. So I would only steal a second box, you know, rather than stealing something else and then someone could steal my box. I would only steal other boxes from other people and then they'd come and steal a box. Does this make any sense?
It makes sense.
Okay, because it was hysterical. And at one point, I think Josh and I had all three boxes. And at the end of the game, Josh and I had two of the three boxes. And we were like, oh, we are victorious! So Mr. Blasted Bill Putt made the most sought-after gift at the Doohan Con White Elephant. And then I traded one of my boxes, one of the two boxes, for something else. And so we have one box.
Well, excellent.
And so that was a highlight of Doohan Con. And
didn't I get a Bible Man action figure last year? I think I did. And then yeah. I traded it to somebody.
Yeah.
So
I had a Christmas happen, which what happened this year was me and Josh decided, you know, we weren't up for traveling because I'm all pregnant and stuff, and, you know, we don't want to spend that kind of money. So I bought my mom a Megabus ticket, And she came and stayed with us for four nights, and it was good. It was very quiet, you know, compared to the kind of large family things I'm used to. But it was a good thing. So it was my mom's first Christmas outside of Minnesota, and we went to restaurants and had lots of food and opened lots of gifts and watched Christmas movies and listened to Christmas music and looked at lots of Christmas lights. In other news, I've been getting, you know, working on getting caught up on Doctor Who. I've got two episodes left of the second season of the newer seasons. And I'm completely, madly in love with David Tennant. He is my celebrity crush. It's been a long time since I had a mad obsessive celebrity crush, but I have one. And he's the hotness.
Well, you would not be alone in your admiration of David Tennant.
I know, it's not very, Hi, Sarah.
So, Sarah, we're just talking about David Tennant. Do you have any comment on David Tennant and his hotness?
Well, I wouldn't kick him out of bed for eating crackers.
I mean, I wouldn't kick Christopher Eccleston or Matt Smith out of my bed for eating crackers, but I don't think I'd kick David Tennant out of my bed for anything. You want to do what? Okay, fine.
Okay.
So, and in still other news, I'm still pregnant, and my baby's estimated weight, even though I'm not even 7 months yet, is 4 pounds, 2 ounces, putting him in the 89th percentile of big old babies. And not coming as a huge surprise between genetics and diabetic stuff. But his head is finally pointing down, and he's bouncing on my bladder all the time. Yay! With his little head bouncing, bonk, bonk, bonk on my bladder. And doing all kinds of weird things. The bigger he gets, the weirder it is when he moves, but...
So, Sarah, we actually just started, so we're going to be doing our podcast probably up until it's time for me to record the FumpCon podcast, so...
Sorry.
I'm sorry. Things
but got... I got you a present. It's $20 worth of Best Buy gift certificate.
Ooh, present for me. It says have a ball. I will have a ball.
That's one of the reasons why I was here later than I should have been.
Well, thank you.
Welcome. So,
well, you didn't have to give me anything, but you did.
Tell them about what I got you.
You got me an adorable drawing of kitty cats. It has Buffy and Willow and Abby and Snowshoe, and it says, 4 out of 4 kitties agree. Carrie is awesome! Smiley face heart! And he put it in a pink jewel frame and wrapped it.
I don't know. Did you ask Snowshoe? I don't think he likes anybody.
He let me pet him a couple times. I kind of said the same thing, though, when I first saw the drawing.
Yeah.
Which was actually a while ago when he texted it to me.
So, Sarah, do you want to swap chairs? Are you going to be doing work at your computer, or what?
No, I thought I'd just visit for a moment.
Okay.
Say hello.
All right.
Hello.
I'm actually going to probably go out and get your baby shower invites.
She's doing my baby shower.
Speaking of which, I dropped off the form at the place, so... No, they just kind of said, the old lady was just like, oh, okay, well, thank you. And then that was it. So.
Oh, great.
I stood there for an extra moment or two waiting for, like, more information from her. And then she's like, that's it. Okay. I was like, all right, thanks. And then I left. So.
All right.
All right. Well, if we show up that day and there's no room rented, I guess we'll have it at my place.
I didn't know you had to pay for park district spaces anyway.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I thought they were free.
Oh, not even a little bit.
We'll just have the.
I said, maybe not so long.
Maybe
it's by the hour.
Maybe we could like have it at the indoor circle walking track and just have everyone at the party continually walk in a circle.
Walking.
Do they have one there too?
Yeah.
Like they have in Wooddale.
Yeah, that's where I go to walk. Mm. So. Anyway.
And I guess the last thing I would say about my life is I'm a little on edge. And I'm not going to tell the podcast listeners why. So stay glued to your seats for next time, and hopefully all will be revealed.
Yay! So, Klingon Christmas Carol happened very spontaneously. I went there and they put me in Klingon makeup and I got to go out and deliver my line, which I can't remember off the top of my head at this point because it's been too long, but I delivered it.
You did it on the Font podcast.
Yes.
That's good enough.
And they said
listen to the Font podcast.
Yes, they said that I delivered the line better than any other guest performer they've had do that line. And then after the show was over, I got to go out and do Gowron Said Knock You Out for the crowd. So we may be planning a more extended Lukeski performance as a part of their run next year.
Sweet.
So that will be cool.
Yeah.
I was really bummed that I didn't get video of the whole thing because it was so cool to have, like, whatever, 30 Klingons behind you going, huh.
Yeah. Maybe next year we could, you know, shoot a full-on music video or something. But
yeah.
The thing that I think I forgot to tell this story on the Fumpcast, so here's some new content for you. The guy wanted me to run through the song, like, you know, before the house opened, so I was essentially, because he's like, oh, well, I want the cast to hear what the song sounds like, and I'm like, oh, great, now I have to perform the song in front of the cast, and the music was turned down, like, really low, so I basically, I kind of faced the cast and closed my eyes just so I could hear the music. It's like, I don't know why they didn't turn it up louder for me to hear during this rehearsal.
Yeah.
So I'm, like, trying to concentrate really hard to make sure I'm keeping with the beat so they have an idea of what the song goes on. So I'm not really thinking about what I'm saying or where I am, what the situation
context.
Is. You know, the context of I'm in a theater where a play is about to happen.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, bring on death, try to catch your breath, I'll kill you just like Macbeth. And at that point, the entire cast goes, whoa! I just said Macbeth in a theater just before the play is about to start, which is one of those bad luck things in the theater.
Yeah.
So it's like I totally spaced on that
one.
It's
not like one of those bad. It's the bad luck thing in a theater.
So
none tops.
So yeah. So that was really funny to me. And then when it came around again during the song, I was hoping that they were all going to do that again. But I think only some of them did the second time through when I actually performed it for a crowd, so...
The funny thing is that nothing went wrong.
Yeah.
That night. In fact, they said that the fight scene was the best run-through that they had.
It could be that the whole Macbeth thing is not really, like, you know, cause and effect.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm
just going out on a limb.
So I got to Doohan Con. I wasn't able to get there Saturday night because, surprise, surprise, it was finally busy at Key Lime Cove after weeks of virtually nothing. So by the time I got done there, it didn't make any sense for me even to go over to Matt's. So I went over there on Sunday and hung out, and it was a lot of fun. And the main point of Sunday for me was bringing over the Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport video episode number 2 to premiere for everybody. Do you want to talk about that now or save it for the end when we're reading comments about it?
Well, save it for the end, I guess.
Okay.
If you haven't watched it, you should go watch it before you listen to the end of the podcast.
Yes.
Anybody who's gone through the trouble to listen to this podcast of all podcasts should definitely go through the trouble to watch the video episode.
Because the video episode, I think, even it's like the length of it is 18 minutes, but even at that length, you know, it is still
it
way
goes
more
by really fast.
It's way more concentrated quality awesomeness and fun and hilarity and music and whimsy, you know, in comparison to this long drawn out
yes.
thing. So
yes.
Yeah, they actually had to plan for that one.
Yeah.
it is the single most awesome thing Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport has ever done.
I'll just I'll throw in here though, but I had much help from Sarah who I had captured all of the video we shot on my computer, but then we transferred it over to her computer, and I did the editing on her computer, which went much better. It was the easiest editing I've ever done working with video. So thank you very much, Sarah, for making my life much easier and better.
Well, that's because I build awesome computers.
Yes. So, yeah, I have a new song at the Fump, which we're going to play in a few minutes. I went to Madison and visited Stephanie because it's gotten to the point in my life where I only get to see her physically face-to-face like 3, maybe 4 times a year tops, you know?
Yeah.
So I just kind of felt like I didn't want to let the whole Christmas season go by without having seen her to, you know, say Merry Christmas and give her a little gift. I found a, didn't even know it existed, five or six DVD box set of, I don't even know which company made it, but it was basically about all the different Disney parks. So I gave that to her, and she was really thrilled to get that. So she and I just we went up to the Dells, went swimming, and then we went over to the Moose Jaw. I had some yummy food there, and then you know came back to her place. And the next day we
Did you have beer cheese soup?
Yes, I had beer cheese soup.
You didn't bring me any,
bastard.
You didn't ask for any.
I didn't know you were going.
I didn't know you were going to the Dells. Period.
Well, it's not that far from Madison.
You could have said, oh, beer cheese soup. Sarah liked that a whole lot. I should bring her some.
I should think of my wife when I'm away from home.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
It happens.
Whatever.
I haven't killed you yet. You don't like going where it's cold, and it was cold up there.
But you went swimming, so I assume that you went somewhere warm. To swim.
There's a warm box where they're swimming, and then yeah. Outside of the warm box is the cold. You don't like driving through the cold to northern Wisconsin.
You're justifying yourself now. Yes. Shut up.
So, anyway, and then, you know...
How can you people stand listening to him? I can't. God.
I hope the mic is picking her up well enough.
I hope so, too.
It didn't pick you up very well on the... Last episode.
Well, that's why I'm sitting closer to the mic this time around. You're
sitting behind the mic for that big group episode. Well, you were there, and when I was pretty quiet. It, even though he's the focus of the whole episode, you can't hear him talk.
Is the mic on this side?
This is the front.
The front of the microphone is here.
Yeah.
Oh, so there's nothing picking up here?
Well, it technically
not
you're,
really.
It's like yeah, there. Technically, the mic still picks you up. It's just, you know, not as good as when you're on this side of
it. It's picking you up from when your voice bounces and comes back to the front.
Oh, all right. Well, so. I always wondered why you pointed the thing at me every time. I'm like, look, I'm staring right at it.
It's like whenever we're on the Fumpcast and you start talking and I start leaning the mic towards you, I'm like, you know, that's because I know that even with running it through Levelator, your voice is going to sound much quieter in comparison to everybody else. But anyway, So yeah, hung out with Steph. We went to the Capitol. Oh, I can talk about that. We went to the Capitol for the Solidarity Sing-Along that happens every day. And I was there in August and heard some of the song parodies people had written about Scott Walker and the Koch brothers and you know, all the protest music, which were done to, you know, well-known, mainly public domain kind of old-timey songs. One of them was... to the tune of Three Little Fishies, which I thought was really interesting, the boom boom bidum badum wadum chew song, for those of you who know what the hell I'm talking about. But so we went there this time, and they had the holiday edition. So they had, grab the book, the Solidarity Sing-Along Holiday Songbook.
Oh my God.
Featuring Oh Come All Wisconsin, Walker the Heartless Governor, Sing-Along is Coming to Town, Holly Jolly Recall, It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Freedom, Wintering in a Walker Blunderland, and more.
There's got to be a Grinch parody in
that's
there.
That's awesome.
I don't think there's a... Well, wait, there's a... I don't even know the title of the song. The one that goes, Yahoo Doris, Yahoo Doris, welcome Christmas, come this... It's from the end of How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And it's the song.
But it just lends itself.
Yeah. Scotty's going to have to face a recall to the tune of Grandma's Got Run Over by a Reindeer. And then there's even a couple of Hanukkah parodies in here as well. So, I'm... it's just, you know...
That's pretty hilarious.
So it's like, you know, it's like
he's
this...
looking at a whole parody songbook that's yeah. All Christmas songs about Wisconsin politics.
Yes. 26 of them in all. So, Oh, wait, here, yeah, I'll read one of them just so the way. 12 Days of Scott Walker's Term. What number is that? Number 14 in the book. Turn your songbooks to number 14. I'll go to the day 12.
Yeah, just sing day 12.
On the 12th day of his term, Scott Walker took from us fair voting districts, the shrinking middle class, lower than average unemployment, a united DNR, health care for the poor, Wisconsin's shining virtue, good public education, high speed rail, fair union contract, safe drinking water, stem cell research, and an unarmed populace. So, yeah. Something else that was interesting was because, of course, all across the country, there's been all these friggin' people getting up in arms because, oh, there's a tree in a state building. Is it a Christmas tree? Is it a holiday tree? Is it just a fucking tree? Oh, let's all get upset over stupid shit like this, you know? So, you know, there's a big tree in the building, and I can't remember if they called it a Christmas or holiday tree, but just the fact that some, you know, citizens brought in, you know, something, things that had to do with religion, like, you know, oh, here's a little framed thing that says, you know, like, you know, Jesus Christ is, you know, the reason for Christmas and blah, blah, blah. And then, like,
the reason for the season.
Or, yeah, something along those lines. And then, you know, a Jewish person made a big menorah that actually had, like, you know, light bulbs on it so that they could have, like, a, you know, big menorah that lit up, blah, blah, blah. So, okay, so apparently this somebody or some group of atheists brought in this thing they had made to look like a mock manger. It wasn't too big. It was like 2 or 3 feet by 2 or 3 feet, mm-hmm. you know, by 3 or 4 feet tall. A mock manger that says something like, you know, celebrate solstice, the real reason for the season. And they made all these like photocopied flat things of people in a manger where it's like Mark Twain and Charles Darwin and, you know, Gandhi and Einstein, like, all saying quotes about, you know, the fact that, you know, they're atheists or there really isn't a God.
Uh-huh.
You know, so basically it's, you know, and then next to that manger, they put a sign up that said, you know, basically, like, you know, what's that company called? FFRF, Freedom From Religion Foundation. That's what it's called. And it's basically this big thing saying, like, you know, there are no angels or devils or blah, 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 you know. You know, reason should be, you know, the cause of humanity or whatever. But it was pretty funny and snarky, the little manger they had set up. And then the thing that I loved the most, even though everything was like, oh, and on the top they had like a little toy action figures of like a monkey and then a caveman and then a man to like look like the thing. Instead of an angel, there was an astronaut being like, you know, space is awesome or something like that. And then even though everything was nailed down and you couldn't really take anything, just for the hell of it, they put on the front of it a sign that said, "Thou shalt not steal." it's like just to rub it in the face of like religious people who would want to be jerks and like take away their thing and be like, you know, oh, you're the one who says you're not supposed to steal things because of God and morality and hell, you know. So anyway, I just felt like mentioning that because it was an interesting thing to talk about.
I'm not sure how I feel about that. Pepe's being my stand-in baby boy right now. Although yes. My baby boy is probably bigger than this puppet.
Carrie has.
I hope your baby has more toes.
more than two toes.
More than four.
Oh yeah, four total.
Yeah.
And Pepe has four arms.
Oh.
Much like Kamikaze the Fly.
Yes.
So
I'm pretty sure my baby only has two arms.
Still. Actually, he's over on fingers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's three 12. Fingers on each hand.
So 12 fingers and four toes. let's hope your baby has the requisite number.
So Christmas was Sarah and I went to St. Louis to visit her family, and that was wonderful. And I still win with her mom because her mom likes me and gives me things.
Yeah, my mom thinks you're 10.
But she gives me what I want.
She still thinks you're 10.
I finally got the Muppet Show season 3 on DVD, which I'm very happy about. And Super Mario Brothers Wii, and the book The Nerdist Way, and
yeah, I remember you said that.
Yeah, CD by Garfunkel and Oates, and a CD by Marc Maron, and a bunch of other cool stuff from your mom, and got to hang out with your family.
Yeah,
guys, we went to lunch on what was that Christmas Eve afternoon, and like all the little kids in the restaurant were like checking out her dad because he looks exactly like Santa Claus.
That's Santa. I'm like, man, Santa's got to eat.
It doesn't matter what clothes he's wearing.
No, and it doesn't even matter what month of the year it is.
Yep.
But it being Christmas Eve just kind of seemed like kids were just like double taking, like, oh, Santa's here. What? You know, it was so super cool.
That's awesome.
So,
yep.
And then got up super early on Christmas Day morning and hauled ass back to Lake Geneva so that we could hang out with my family, and that was always, you know, as always, very fun.
Yeah, I affectionately term that the Cannonball Run.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm still surprised at your guys' dedication to getting to both families every Christmas season.
Are you kidding? I am not going to be the one who ruins Christmas. Luke's not here. Christmas is ruined.
Well, yeah, it's just because your mom has her thing about the 40 days. Explain what that is.
I don't think I've explained this on the podcast before.
I don't
but
think you have.
Really?
Okay,
can you be in front of the mic and not behind it?
So Billy Crystal did a one-man Broadway play called 700 Sundays. And he basically, the title was based on him having figured out that the relationship he had with his father happened pretty much all on Sunday because his father worked 6 days a week and the only time he had to spend with his father was on Sunday. So, you know, looking at how old he was and when his father died, he calculated that his entire relationship with his dad consisted of 700 Sundays. And I haven't seen the play, but I did get the book made based on the play, and it's a really good book and it's awesome. So, anyway, my mom either read that book or saw the play or something, or heard about it. So she then sat down at that point in her life and figured out, like, well, you know, I have my four kids. I only get to see all four of them at the same time twice a year on Christmas and on Easter. So, which is crap, first of all. And then second of all, she as a person who at the time she was like about, I don't know, 55 or so years old. She kind of decided, well, I'm only going to live another 20 years. So apparently my mom is going to die at 75 for no
reason.
For arbitrary reasons. So
she blows out the candles. Boom.
Yep.
So 20 years, 2 days a year, that's 40.
She looks pretty healthy to me.
Yeah.
Keeping in mind that her mother lived to be 94. So one day we're all sitting at during one of these holiday get-togethers, and my mom's like, well, I only get 40 more days with you guys. And we're all like, what the hell are you talking about, Mom? She's like, well, you know, Christmas and Easter, and then 20 more years. I only get 40 more days with you. And we're like, that is such a load of crap. And then immediately I'm like, wait a minute. What about Thanksgiving? And then she's like, well, yeah, I guess that is another day where I see all of you. And then I was like, ha, we just added 20 more days. And we all started high-fiving each other. She's like, you're all making fun of me. It's like, yeah, because you're being ridiculous, you know? It's like,
well, that's also what that thing was about. When we went to the Dells, your family, in like 2006 or whatever.
Yeah, it was like, you know, we're gonna spend a big family weekend together,
like,
in the Dells.
Giving her extra days.
Yeah, she gets three more days for Mom. It's the best gift ever.
Michael was only there for one day, so
yeah, so
it only counted for one because
right.
All four of her kids have to be there.
Yep.
So I am not gonna be the one who ruins Christmas because all four of her kids aren't there and Christmas is ruined.
Yeah.
I love my mom, and we all love, you know, my mom really super huge amounts, and she's totally awesome. But, you know, whenever she starts going down avenues like that, we have to pick on her, you know. But yeah. So anyway, that's what that's all about. Her birthday is January
16th.
No, 12th.
12th. That's right. It's 2 days from yours, and I always get the direction wrong.
So, yeah. Anyway, speaking of my mom and how awesome she is, she got Sarah and I a grill. So
an awesome grill. Like, we will never have to buy another grill in our entire lives.
Oh, that's a grill?
Yeah.
An outdoor? I thought it was a stove.
No, it's a grill.
No, it's...
He sent me the picture. I thought it was a stove.
So when I sent you the picture with the caption, Carrie, why are you all up in my grill? You didn't figure out that it was a grill?
Well, stoves have, you know, the racks that are kind of grill-like.
I got nothing.
Yeah. So, but yeah.
I thought it was a stove.
So, no, it's a grill and a really nice one.
So we're going to be having some barbecue parties with burgers and food.
Yay!
Steaks. I want steaks. You can't really make a good steak without a grill. I mean, I've got that little George Foreman thing, but you just can't. It just doesn't work.
Polish sausage.
Yeah.
Mm. on the grill.
A George Foreman grill is a grill in the same way that, like, a remote control car is a car.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, it... Well, no, it's closer to the thing that it's emulating than that. But, I mean, you can make food on it. It does have grill marks on it. But...
Technically, things come off of it edible in a cooked format.
But really, you're just... You're practically just pan frying it.
Yeah.
So, eh. But yay, grill!
Anyway, well, let's move on with the show and play... Since it's still, you know, we still got enough time left to play a little bit of Christmas music, I want to play my new song and the new song by the new group Scooter Picnic. normally we try not to play too many Fump songs on here, but there's
we
just...
Do?
Well, I'm playing four tracks from that are currently on the Fump main page in this show because they're all really good, and I just feel like there's been a lot of really good music at the Fump lately. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, Candy.
Abby. So, Abby the Christmas kitty
is up by the microphone and she's not going to make any noise. No, I'm not.
Meow.
I'll make noise.
Alrighty.
Mm, I want the kitty.
There you go. Alright, so here is me followed by Scooter Picnic, a.k.a. TV's Kyle and Insane Ian on Bad Rapport.
Whee!
Star Wars is a serial of thrills. Instead of one sci-fi classic, we get six crazy films and an animated series. Some actors of the Jewish faith are in these tales of Jedi. And if Adam Sandler can amend his song, then why the hell can't I? Natalie Portman sure isn't a shiksa. She was elected Queen of Naboo just before her bat mitzvah. Gave birth to a Jewish princess. She was Carrie Fisher's mama. Mark Hamill's not a Jew, but he was the voice of the Hanukkah zombie on Futurama. Some people thought Watto was, with his raspy voice and schnozzes. Well, he's not, and neither is Yoda, but it turns out that Frank Oz is.
Jew or Jew not, there is no tribe.
Mel Brooks gave us Spaceballs, made us laugh until we burst. Harrison Ford is a quarter Jewish, and he shot Greedo first. Get on your Tonica, it's Star Wars Hanukkah. You can hang out with Qui-Gonica on the Millennium Falconica with a Wookiee named Chewbonica. Please help me, Obi-Wanica. So go see episode Wanica and have a happy Han Solo.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
Just kidding. Happy Star Wars
Boy,
it's our war on the Christmases.
Christmases, gifts. I'm terrible at wrapping Christmas gifts. No matter what signs, I always get miffed. Cause I can't ever seem to cut the paper right, or I run out of tape and it takes all night. I never can judge how much paper to use when wrapping gifts. I just get confused. My taping is sloppy, my wrapping ain't nimble. Once used a whole roll just to wrap a thimble. I get so annoyed by ribbons and bows. Think I've got tape stuck to the edge of my nose. I used to spread the paper out over my bed. It was a flat surface to cut on, I said. But one year my mom turned as red as a beet. Cause when I cut through the paper, I also cut my sheets. Once wrapped a book, but it looked like a bonnet. So I tossed it in a bag and threw tissue paper on it.
I can't wrap. It's a matter of fact, I can't even hack. Keeping presents and tight, bring back the ice pack. Cause I don't have the neck, can't wrap. So I'm having an anxiety attack. Chap, it's a mishap. Don't sarcastically clap. My thumb is entrapped and I still can't go on my lap. I think I need a map or I'll finally snap. So just to recap, I cannot wrap.
I'm terrible at wrapping. repping. Yes, for my friends, is it something about testosterone that ultimately lands itself to failure? And keeping repping neat, I can't be discreet. My failure is complete. I'm Kyle. My repping skills are vile. I'll ruin it with a smile. The present I'll defile. I'm not living in denial. I think I will beguile you. My incompetence, baby, it's a shining on through. I got a page of Sunday comics and some scotch tape. With a bit of desperation, you can do a lot, mate. It looks like a 5-year-old get a hold of a glue gun. It's a total disaster, but you can tell that I had fun. Somehow I got staples embedded in my face. I've reduced the scarf I got you to a piece of toxic waste. I must insist that all my failure has a little charm. Excuse me now, I must remove the scissors from my arm. I can't rep, it's a matter of fact. I can't even act. Keeping presents intact, bring back the ice pack. Cause I don't have the neck, can't rap. So I'm having an anxiety attack. Chat, it's a mishap, don't sarcastically clap. My thumb is a trap, and I spill cocoa on my lap. I think I need a map, or I'll finally snap. So just to recap, I cannot rap.
How do girls do this? I can't understand. I use tape to seal the paper cuts on my hand. Yo, Kyle.
Yes, Ian.
I think I have a plan to help us with these presents, and it comes from Japan.
You mean a present wrapping robot?
Yo, you read my mind.
But something like that might be tough to find.
It's the only way we'll be a Christmas survivor. We'll build it ourselves like our name was MacGyver.
Yeah, MacGyver. I think I'll go watch some.
Focus, Kyle, focus.
Right, getting work done.
Look, while you were talking, I bought us the mech.
Look at that guy go. He's so high tech. Our problems are over. Ian, you're a genius.
Oh no, I can't believe this!
Way to go, dingus. Looks like all hope is lost.
Oh, what's Christmas with a nuclear holocaust?
I can't rap, it's a matter of fact. I can't even hack. Keeping presents intact, bring back the ice pack. Cause I don't have the neck, can't rap. So I'm having an anxiety attack. Chap, it's a mishap, don't sarcastically clap. My thumb is entrapped, and I spill cocoa on my lap. I think I need a map, or I'll finally snap. So just to recap, I cannot rap. I can't rap, it's a matter of fact. I can't even hack. Keeping presents intact, bring back the ice pack. Cause I don't have the neck, can't rap. So I'm having an anxiety attack. Chap, it's a mishap, don't sarcastically clap. My thumb is entrapped, and I spill cocoa on my lap. I think I need a map, or I'll finally snap. So just to recap, I cannot rap.
Didn't the waitresses already do a rapping joke like...
Shut up, Kyle!
Ooh.
I mean, shut up, Kyle.
And we're back. Hey, welcome to Luke and Gary's Bad Rapport.
Oh, I thought of one.
All right, and now it's time for Pregnancy is Gross with Carrie Dalby, and I'll have Sarah sit here so that she can be by the microphone.
So when you're pregnant, your hormones go into overdrive, and they kind of make extra things grow. Yeah. And
you have a penis now?
I have a magic new nipple mole. It's just like, where did this mole come from on my nipple?
It's magical!
And so that's kind of gross.
Nah.
And I already told you about how, you know, flossing is a, you know...
Bloody and...
experiment in gore.
Yeah. I think I met a pregnant man this morning because he was like... He came up to me and asked me for money and he was like bleeding from the mouth and I'm like, ah, leper! Yeah, it was bad. I'm like, no, I don't have anything.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, he was like, really, like, it looked like you'd been punched in the face several times.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, so I grossed Carrie out instead.
Yeah, it's been so long since we did one of these, I can't remember what I wanted to say, and... I'm sure the grossest things I'll have to tell you will be after the birth.
Yay. Probably. All right, I'll be back.
Like, right. will I or will I not pee and poop on the table? In front of everybody.
Okay, so this is all right. I wrote down a bunch of random topics over the past few weeks, and a bunch of these are really short. So,
and we have no idea which ones we are or will not talk about.
Yes.
Or are we just going to hit them all?
Well, this little set, I'll hit them all because I know they're all really short. So there's a cliche that's, like, existed for decades, and I did not look this up on the internet to see if it started, you know, where it started, but I suspect it started with the Brady Bunch. Because there was an episode of the Brady Bunch where, somebody, some character, one of the kids, had to give a speech in public in front of a big group of people. And it's like, oh, I'm scared to speak in public, blah, 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 blah. And then somebody gives that person the advice, well, if you just imagine everybody in their underwear, then, you know, that will make you think the situation is ridiculous and you won't be nervous anymore so that you can talk freely.
I think it actually started before that as just a thing.
Okay.
Not necessarily a thing that was on a show.
Well, that was the first place I came across it. And it's that cliche has been brought up about imagine everyone in their underwear or imagine everyone naked. In fact, that joke was also done in the new Muppets movie.
Yep.
That has always pissed me off because I want to know, has anyone in real life ever actually done that and had it work?
I have no idea.
I mean, because I guess maybe my imagination is like on too high a level or too active, you know, kind of like, you know, like a person who plays D&D, it's not like, you know, you're in a field, there's a castle. Now what do you do? It's always like, you know, they describe the field in great detail down to all the botanical details, and then the castle, a specific type of castle with specific type of turrets, and then there's people in costume. It's like there's too much detail. There's too many factors to work in. So this whole notion of, oh, imagine everyone in the audience naked, or imagine everyone in the audience in their underwear. Okay, how many people are in the audience? Dozens. Okay, so it's like there's too much time and mental effort that would go into having to actually do that while at the same time you're making a public speech, and even if it's written down for you on cards, it's like, there's too much mental activity. It's like, how could that advice possibly ever have been a practical thing that worked?
That's, you know, like an appropriate thing to get really angry and riled up about.
Well, we haven't done a, you know, what was that segment called? Luke, you know.
Shut the fuck up, Luke? No.
No, it was called Luke rants incessantly about some stupid bullshit his brain won't shut up about, blah, blah, blah. This is one of those things. It's been bothering me for years, this whole, you know.
I mean, for you non-performers, what actually usually happens is the lights are on in your face so bright that you can't really see the audience and okay, this doesn't happen at con performances, but, you know, regular theater performances, you know, you can't even see the audience anyways, so you can just pretend they're not there.
Yeah. So, I don't know,
and then you get into Rocky, where you have to listen to heckling during your entire performance, and then you get immune to the audience's presence.
I'd have to assume, I already know at least one example off the top of my head of, you know, the notion of imagine everyone naked, and then all of a sudden the person in question gets aroused by, you know, thinking of them naked, you know. It would just be funny to be, you know, kind of a sketch of like some creepy guy, you know, or something. Anyway, but the one I'm thinking off the top of my head was the song Shy Ronnie 2, Ronnie and Clyde by The Lonely Island. So, anyway, that was one thing. Yeah, the next thing I wanted to bring up has to do with Christmas, and I intentionally waited for Sarah to be gone so I could pick on her a little bit.
behind her back? I'm telling. I'm going to text her what you say, because she doesn't listen to this shit.
So we were at Sarah's family's house having, you know, Christmas dinner, or maybe, I can't remember, it was Christmas Eve or Christmas Eve. It was one of the two. And they had been watching on the Discovery Channel.
Those of you who are not in this country, Christmas Eve is not actually a thing. It's just something that Luke said.
Paul and Storm wrote a song about it.
Okay, but it's not really a real thing.
Yeah, but I think if people heard me say Christmas Eve, they would know I was talking about December 23rd, and I wasn't proclaiming it an actual holiday.
They might say to themselves, do Americans actually celebrate Christmas Eve?
That's assuming that the guys from Flat 29 still listen to the show at all.
They do.
I think they gave up a long time ago. But then again, they've been...
It is pretty long and boring.
Yeah. but we'll mention them later. Anyway, so we're sitting around. They've been watching on TV all day. There's a show on Discovery Channel about people who mine for gold. You know, one of those kind of, you know, ice road truckers, like, you know, people up in the wilderness trying to make a living type of shows that are on TV a lot.
Mishki interviewed someone who mines for gold on the show.
Yeah, so this So it's a show called Gold Rush, where they have like three different reality camera crews following three different places where people are mining for gold in this day and age, trying to make a living. So I was sitting there, and you know, it's Christmas Eve, and at some point something came up about watching the Gold Rush thing, and I was like, you know, gold, silver, and gold, and you know, and I said like, yeah, well, you know, in the next episode they're gonna bring on Yukon Cornelius, and then he's going to, you know, show them how to mine for silver and gold, and then there's going to be the elf who wants to be a dentist. And Sarah looks at me like, what the hell are you talking about? And I'm like, you know, Yukon Cornelius, silver and gold, gold! And she's like, you know, nobody knows what you're talking about. And I just kind of like, wait a minute, hold on a second. We have ventured into a territory where we're not talking about Luke's super geeky fandom, where I mention a character.
I don't know what you're talking about either.
All right, well, let me elaborate. We're not talking about like some rare character from Deep Space Nine who appeared once on the show. We're talking about the Rankin Bass Christmas special, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which has been airing every year for like at least 30 years.
I haven't seen it since I was a kid.
So yeah, it's like I'm making a reference to Yukon Cornelius. Whenever you hear somebody as a joke, as a miner, talk about gold, they're making a reference to Yukon Cornelius from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. So she started giving me stuff, you know, crap like, you know, like, nobody knows what the hell you're talking about. And I'm like, everybody, you know, a great percentage of people know what I'm talking about, because this is not a geeky fandom thing. This is a general public thing,
Luke,
you know?
She didn't know what you were talking about. It was a fair assumption.
Most people at the table there knew what I was talking about. Let me finish. So what I did is I immediately went to Twitter, and I tweeted, if I said the name Yukon Cornelius and you knew exactly what I was talking about, then tweet at Sarah Trice and say, gold! And then I tweeted that off.
Back off from the mic a little bit.
This
just reminds me of the time when I didn't know what the Mayans were or the Aztecs, and you and Matt just jumped all over my shit so bad, like I was, you know, the most ignorant person on planet Earth. Because I didn't happen to know what the Aztecs were.
You didn't happen to take history class in third grade?
They didn't happen to teach that in third grade. Don't start this shit again. Like I'm so sure you know, you guys know everything. You know, everybody has random holes in their knowledge of shit.
That's very true.
And, I thought it was real unfair, and it still bugs me to this day, so... She made a logical assumption that, you know, you're making a stupid, obscure reference and made a joke about it.
Well, I don't know. I still personally think that Yukon Cornelius isn't nearly as an obscure reference that...
No.
Especially during the Christmas season.
I'm not saying it is, but, you know, she didn't know what you were talking about, therefore she made a logical assumption.
Okay, all right. Next thing on my list here. The song Love Shack by the B-52s. Everyone loves it. It gets played all the time. Do you remember the music video for Love Shack?
It's widely beloved. I only vaguely remember it.
Okay. So, there is a part in the song near the end where the lead singer chick, whose name I can't remember.
I don't remember any of their names.
Yeah. So, right towards
the redhead chick?
Yeah. So, in the song, she goes... Tin roof, rusted.
Yeah.
And then all the song cuts out there and then comes back in. So in the music, Jesus
Abby.
Christ, kitty cat, come in here if you want attention.
God.
For the
Lord.
Can't you hear me talking loudly and continuously? You know I'm in this room.
We have the door wide open.
The door is open.
And
you can totally
off,
come in here.
She's off in the other room, like begging. And
where are you? Where are you?
Luke has gone to get her because he can't take it. He's not really yelling at her, I don't think. She's adorable and cuddly and wonderful, and as soon as I sat down to eat my dinner, she came up and rubbed all up her head all up against me, and she wasn't even trying to eat my dinner. She was just trying to love me. And I'm vamping. He's luring her in here with a toy.
Here.
Hang out in here if you want attention, for the love of God.
Just shut the door and force her to hang out in here.
There, now when she wants out, she'll meow at the door.
Yep.
Anyway. Tin roof! Rusted!
Right.
In the music video, they show a close-up shot of the red-haired woman's face, and she goes, tin roof! And then, in that pause, when she's not saying anything and there's no music, they cut to the close-up of a face of a goat. And then, at the end of that pause, they cut back to her face. Rusted! And then the video continues. So, tin roof! Shot of a goat. Rusted!
Okay.
Ever since that video, and I saw that repeatedly back when MTV would repeatedly show videos, whenever I hear that song played in public, when it gets to that part of the song, during that pause, I make a goat noise.
Okay.
So if I'm ever out in public and that song plays, I will, without caring if anyone sees me or hears me, or even if there are people there or not, tin roof! Meh! Rusty!
I've never noticed that.
Well, it's, again...
I've never noticed that you do that.
Well, you probably haven't been around me when that song has been played.
I'm sure I've been around you when that's... Okay, how many years have I been around you? How overplayed is that song? I mean, come on.
So, now that I've mentioned this on the podcast, I want everybody else who listens to do that whenever they hear that in the song.
Why?
Because it's... Why did they cut to a goat in that moment? They had no reason to cut to a goat in that moment. And now they have a goat stuck in my head for the rest of my life whenever I hear that pause in that song. So if I have to be stuck thinking about a goat in that moment, I'm going to make sure everybody else is thinking about a goat simultaneously by making a goat noise.
So I think the front runner for the title of this podcast is Thinking About a Goat.
Maybe.
Or Everyone Think About Goats Now, or something about thinking about goats. Something related to thought and goats. Goatery.
The Goat Preponderance. Which sounds like a title for a episode of The Big Bang Theory. All right.
Apparently, I guess... Josh's mom tried to get him into that show, but it didn't take with him. But he likes 30 Rock, and we love Sarah Silverman. But we haven't watched any of that because we're just watching Doctor Who all the time.
All right, well, speaking of Doctor Who, let's move on to our next song, which is by Devo Spice. And guess what it's called?
I've always wanted to be a ginger. No.
It's called I Am the Doctor. So here is that, and then we'll have News of the Stupid. Hooray!
Hello, I'm the Doctor. Just the Doctor, and this is my crew. How do you do? I'm just a madman with a box. A big blue box, foxy and sexy, if you only knew. Yes, it's bigger on the inside. Ask Captain Jack. It's a great ride back in his mind. I reside in the TARDIS. Home is where the heart is. And like Lisa Simpson, I can see through time. I have been to the end of the universe and back again. The reverse course when we arrive. Back where we started in the TARDIS. Because the people come with me. I really like to try to bring him back alive. So if you want to come and get your things, I'll take you to the sky sing. Tell your mom that you're ringing around the cell. Or the things I can show you as I get to know you. But don't wait for me, because that never ends well. I am the Doctor. Me this. Are you my mommy? No, of course you're not, but with a spot on your hands. I guess I always talk this fast. All my chatter doesn't matter. I'm the only one who really understands. You see, I've got a big head, a very big head, a very large head with a very big brain. And if you look deep into my eyes, the very old eyes, you might even see some little guys at the rain. That's what I do to survive on the day that I die, because it's what is inside that counts. I wonder if you missed it at one point. It never existed and still made the wedding unannounced. I've stopped aliens and demons in the end of everything, and it barely even shook me up. So if you think you're crossing me, your loss it will be. I'm the Doctor. Look me up. I am the Doctor. Oh, the things I've seen make your skin turn green.
like a Silurian. I've seen angels move, and if you think you've seen one, don't look away or even blink. I've seen a Dalek sunbathe and let loose. I've seen a crack scarier than any plumber could produce. I've seen vampires that were actually scary, and no, they didn't sparkle like a dancing fairy. I've seen cat people and sentient trees, and I've seen the silence, but oh geez, I forget. What were we talking about? Alright, me. I wear a bow tie now. Bow ties are cool, but oh my, whatever happened to my fez? I know I tend to dive right inside the hive, but if you want to make it out alive, then you'll do what the doctor says. But why is everyone still going on about my name when they should be more concerned about the people made of plastic? After all, a rose by any other name would still be the bad wolf and still be fantastic. That's what my life is like, with Cybermen and Centaurus, the glued in the head this month. Sure, there's danger and strife, but it's a marvelous life, and you can ride along beside me if you want. So tell me now, where do you want to go from here? How about a lovely little planet where we won't get injured? I had a thought, I think I ought to let Devo Spice play the doctor so I could be a ginger. I've always wanted to be a ginger. I am the doctor! I am the doctor! I am the doctor!
Pajamas and wash behind your ears. Brush your teeth and scrub your face. I'm running all around the place. It's time for all the girls and boys to put away their clothes and toys and go to bed. Go to bed, 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 go to bed. I know what you're thinking. You want to jump on the bed. I think you better settle down and mind your P's and Q's and Z's. Cause little kids start jumping, then pretty soon they don't care. They're jumping, 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 jumping. Go to bed, 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 go to bed. Jump, jump, go to bed. Go to bed, 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 jump, 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 jump! I'm on my knees, I'm saying pretty please, please go to bed. Please go to bed, 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 jump, jump, go to bed, 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 jump, 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 jump. Go to bed, go to bed, go to bed, bed, bed.
Go to bed, bed, go to bed, bed.
Go to bed, 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 bed,
bed, bed, bed, bed, bed, bed, bed.
By Devo Spice, visit DevoSpice.com, reported by the internet from all over the world, and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess it's stupid to prove an innocent, cause I'm making soda means that you incriminate.
On this week's Manic Mondays, Devo Spice reported on News of the Stupid, a story of three girls who frosted a cake with feces and fed it to people as a prank. Well, that's just the beginning, folks, as all of the stories on this installment of News of the Stupid are about terrorist food. Starting with a South American delicacy that's so good people have said, it's the bomb! Yes, it explodes in your mouth, not in your hands. In Santiago, Chile's Supreme Court has ordered a newspaper to pay $125,000 to 13 people who suffered burns while trying out a published recipe for churros, a popular Latin American snack of dough fried in hot oil. The publisher of La Tercera must pay individual damages to 11 women and 2 men, ranging from as little as $279 to $48,000 for one woman whose burns were particularly severe. The High Court's ruling was announced Monday, 7 years after the readers burned themselves while trying out the recipe. Judges determined that the newspaper failed to fully test it before publication, and that if readers followed the recipe exactly, the churros had a good chance of exploding once the oil reached the suggested temperature. Grupo Copesa, which publishes the paper, said it will abide by the ruling. Days after the recipe was published in the paper's Woman issue in 2004, hospitals around the country began treating women for burns suffered when the dough boiling in oil suddenly shot out of kitchen pots. Soon, Chileans told their neighbors across the border, "Don't fry for me, Argentina. The truth is that snack will scald you."
Many of these food terrorists get away with it, even when their attacks are televised. Like this story from Amsterdam, where Dutch prosecutors are not investigating a case of apparent cannibalism on a Dutch TV show, in which presenters appear to consume tiny pieces of each other's flesh that had been surgically removed. Amsterdam prosecution spokeswoman Yvonne van der Lied said no investigation is underway. A spokesman for broadcaster BNN said doctors and others involved in the stunt may have broken laws, but police probably have more important things to do. BNN has insisted the case is not a hoax. The show Guinea Pigs showed footage of what appeared to be the removal of tissue from a buttock of one presenter and the waist of another. In front of a studio audience, the pair described cooked fatty tissue as rubbery and disgusting, and muscle as indistinguishable from other meat. Even though they were under threat of investigation, the producers of the show told the Dutch prosecutors, "Eat me!"
Think you can escape terrorist food attacks by driving out of town? Well, think again before you head down this rocky road. Police say 40,000 pounds of ice cream have spilled from a semi-trailer in Fort Wayne, Indiana, closing two lanes of southbound Interstate 69 at the start of the holiday weekend. One southbound lane remained open. The Journal-Gazette and WPTA-TV report the spill was expected to take as long as 6 hours to clean up completely, which happened about 4 p.m. on Friday. That's odd. I would have expected an accident like this to have happened on a Sunday. Police said the truck was trying to enter the interstate from a ramp when it tipped, spilling cartons of vanilla, caramel, praline crunch, and other flavors of Edie's ice cream onto the interstate. Police say the truck driver had minor injuries and was taken to a local hospital to be checked out. No news reporting if he is a chubby hubby whose banana was split. We will update you as soon as we learn the scoop.
And finally, a Peabody, Massachusetts woman who just flew back home from Las Vegas says an airport security officer confiscated her frosted cupcake because he thought the icing on it could be a security risk. Rebecca Haynes said the TSA agent at McCarran International Airport took her cupcake, telling her its frosting was enough like a gel to violate TSA restrictions on allowing liquids and gels onto flights to prevent them from being used as explosives. Haynes said the agent didn't seem concerned that the cupcake could actually be explosive, just that it fits some bureaucratic definition of what was prohibited. She said he even offered to let her eat it away from the airport security area. We here at News of the Stupid have acquired audio of the incident.
"Excuse me, ma'am, I'm going to have to confiscate that."
"But officer, it's just a cupcake."
"I'm sorry, but this could be an explosive device that you secretly mocked up here in the terminal in an attempt to sneak it onto a plane."
"But officer, you can't fake a cake on the make."
"Hand it over right now, please, ma'am. Thank you."
"Oh, how am I gonna get a yummy baked good now?"
"Calm down, ma'am. It's a piece of cake to bake a pretty cake."
People are stupid, and once again, they have proven it.
Now that's a cake wreck.
This has been News of the Stupid. Cake.
Okay, so it's 8:32. I don't think we have time for a full-on discussion segment. Because we got lots of comments, and we got to talk about the video thing.
Yeah.
So instead of
get to that soon.
Okay, well, I just, I'm trying to look at other things that have kind of been on the outline for a long time, but we haven't gotten around to talking about.
Pick the shortest one.
Well, there's a couple of these that I kind of want to have special guests on to talk about, like either my family or some old friends, because it would make sense to. I guess I could, kind of go through Drama Club, since we sort of, you know, vaguely touched upon that last episode, you know, that being about that era of my life, the high school years.
Okay. We'll get to me talking about my time in high school theater next time, because we won't have time for it this time.
But yeah.
We're on the outline.
It's freshman year. I wasn't heavily involved. I think, I know the musical was Bye Bye Birdie, and I heard from a friend of mine who was in the play, because she was cast as one of the main characters, that they needed somebody to play Ed Sullivan. And I had at least your kind of typical comedian impersonation of, you know, Ed Sullivan, you know, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, really big shoe, you know, that kind of cliched thing. And I had the ability to do that. So I kind of went in, and this friend of mine, Carolyn, it was Carolyn or Caroline? God, I keep forgetting. Carolyn, I think. She told the person running drama, it's like, oh, he can do this. And then I did the impression for him. He's like, oh, sure, you can be in the play. And so I got to be one of the background performers, you know, in the chorus. And then I got to be Ed Sullivan, was one my shining moment of, you know, awesomeness that year.
Didn't you do something with that voice for something that ended up on Forgotten Fish Heads?
Maybe.
I thought you did.
You might be thinking of a different thing I did in high school. There was a... one of the tracks of Forgotten Fish Heads was... Oh, no, you're thinking of the... I'll get to that play. Okay. I know what you're thinking of. I should have prepared, but I didn't because I was doing other things today. Trying to think, sophomore year, I can at least mention the musicals. Sophomore year... Oh, man, I'm totally blanking here. Okay, I'll get them out of order then. One year we did The Princess and the Pea. There's this musical version of The Princess and the Pea called Once Upon a Mattress. So right. I got to be in that play playing the male lead, Prince Dauntless the Drab. Now, ooh, you just dropped your phone and it broke.
Oopsie. That's why it's named Oopsie.
Oopsie, or your battery fell
oopsie.
Out.
Oopsie.
So, being the male lead, like, oh, that's all great, but it wasn't nearly as cool as other plays having the male lead, because Once Upon a Mattress is designed for the female lead to be the main star. When it originally happened on Broadway, I believe Carol Burnett was the star of Once Upon a Mattress. So, you know, it's kind of like the male lead is more of a straight man-ish kind of character to all the other funnier characters.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I do... You know, they're trying to, like, specific memories that stand out about that play is there's this, the king, who's the father of my character, doesn't speak at all because he has a curse. So there's this funny song in the musical where the father who can't speak has to explain the birds and the bees to his son just, like, through pantomime. So that's kind of a funny song. My friend Dan Estes... who actually was in, even though he wasn't a regular part of the Teenage Comedian cast, he was the person playing the Emperor in my Star Wars parody, because he, during Once Upon a Mattress, he played a wizard who wore a big cloak, so it just kind of seemed to make sense in my mind at the time to, you know, and he was kind of a hippie guy, but he was really hilarious, and it's like, we were always trying to do things to, like, crack each other up and to make each other, like, break up on stage. I remember this one time in one of the performances, I have to sing this song about the Princess Winifred, and the song is called I'm in Love with a Girl Named Fred. So I'm singing this part like, everybody, 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 come and meet my incipient wife. And right when I'm saying that line, which kind of begins this awesome song, I looked off stage, and Dan had his, like, his wizard cloak on, and he wasn't, like, naked underneath. I think he didn't have, like, a shirt on, but he had pants. But he just kind of took his cloak and, like, whipped it open like a flasher. You know, like, not that he was legitimately trying to flash me, just he was just trying to, you know, mock up, do a mock flashing of me just to try to get me to laugh. And it actually worked, but I was able to, like, roll it off as if I was doing that on purpose as acting. It's like, everybody, 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 come and meet my... So it was, like, you know, a funny moment. Yeah, Pepe is now tied up into knots because Carrie was bored listening to my stories of drama club.
And I don't get to talk about mine because we won't have time.
Well, I'll get through the musicals at least, and the one significant non-musical play. You
have to put Carrie's high school theater experience on the outline for next time.
Okay. There was Charlotte's Web we did at one point. I was Homer Zuckerman. In fact, I think I still have the sign for Zuckerman's famous pig in the basement, one of the props we had made. Once Upon a Mattress, that was my sophomore year. Junior year, we did a more serious musical called Working, based on a book by Studs Terkel. In that play, It's not really a plot kind of play. It's like all these vignettes done by different people who work different types of jobs. So, you know, there's a song by a waitress. There's a song by a school teacher. There's a song by a mason. There's a song by
a... I've heard of this, but I'm sure I've heard of it because you've told me before.
So I was one of the ensembles of guys singing a song about being a truck driver, but I got to have a solo song, and I often have wondered if my drama teacher was intentionally giving me roles like this because he didn't really like me or want me around. Like, oh, here, comedy boy, I'll give you the most serious role in the play, and maybe that'll get you to quit and go away so I don't have to deal with you.
Maybe he's trying to challenge you.
That's the other side of it. And it seemed to work, because the song is called Un Mejor Día Vendrá. And it is a song... The character I am playing is an 8-year-old migrant grape-picking Hispanic boy.
Yeah.
So think about that. Like, I don't think I was too overweight at that point in my life, but... You know, a rather non-Hispanic blonde, non-thin, you know, 17-year-old, you know, white boy with blue eyes playing a migrant 8-year-old grape-picking, very sad person who's basically, the character is handing out flyers at a grocery store asking people to not buy grapes because of the harsh working conditions that are, you know, killing his people. And I have to sing a sad song entirely in Spanish. Un mejor día vendrá, un mejor día vendrá, cuando Dios a los pobres un jugar dará. Cuando me dura la tarde, vuelvo cansado a mi hogar, y soñando en un futuro volvido por los días. I'm probably screwing some of this up, but yeah, that's... So it's like a...
It sounds like a song for Pepe.
And then... Pepe the King Bruno, gay. And there was another girl who was on stage with me playing my sister, so to speak, even though she didn't have any speaking lines. And she basically was just stepping in to sing the harmony parts with me. So it's like, let's give Luke the most serious role in the play. And I actually got some compliments. Somebody even said, like, some woman, you know, was crying because of my performance. So, you know,
yeah.
Apparently I was halfway decent there. Junior year was, we did a play called The Nerd, and believe it or not, I actually was not initially cast in The Nerd. Some other person who was, he looked more like a physical, you know, like an Eddie Deason kind of slim, tall, white, gangly, you know, nerdy, like, oh, with the nerdiness and the glaive and, you know, not that he was trying to be Jerry Lewis, but he kind of looked more like what you would think of, you know, like, not that he was... unattractive, but if you dressed him up as a nerd, he would seem more like a gangly nerd type, like from the movie Revenge of the Nerds, than I would.
Yeah.
So he got the lead role, and I was all bummed out and, you know, that I didn't get into this play. And then I remember I was on the bus, as the bus was pulling out, and I saw some friends of mine from the drama club, like, running up to the bus, like, Luke! And they were trying to get my attention, and they were, like, jumping, and I'm like, what? I can't hear you. I'm on a bus. It's driving away. You'll have to tell me tomorrow. And then I found out later that what happened was the kid they had that got the lead role as the nerd, I think his name was Aaron. He apparently was in softball. Uh-huh. And when Aaron's parents found out that his play practices would interfere with his softball, practice schedule, they said, oh no, softball is more important than plays. You can't be in the play.
Yeah.
Or something to that effect. So, you know, I ended up getting the part because, you know...
That's how a lot of high school kids get a lot of parts.
Yeah. So, so I got to be the nerd, and I had not yet at that point heard of the group called Diupers, but Mr. Holmes said he wanted the nerd in his version, in his vision of this play, to be more of a... Northwoods type of, you know, dorky person. So he got me a copy on cassette of Diuper's Culture Shock album.
Yeah.
So that was my first exposure to Diuper's, listening to that tape over and over again, because he wanted me to kind of get a little bit of a Northwood accent there. Don't you know, hey, you know, these deviled eggs are really delicious. It's hard to believe that just a short time ago, they were all inside some birds.
Now I know where I recognize that from.
So that play was freaking awesome. It was so cool and so much fun. The ensemble was just great.
Plus, you got introduced to your favorite comedy band of all time.
Or One of them, yeah.
As far as bands and not.
If you don't consider Weird Al, a band in the sense that, you know, he's the lead singer and the band does what he wants. When you're talking about
the band is named after him.
Yeah, and when you're talking about a group of people who, as a group, you know, create comedy music, you know, Diupers is probably my favorite.
We only have 15 minutes left.
I know. I'm trying to. So then senior year we did Anything Goes, and I played the purser, the kind of policeman on the ship. So it was kind of a minor role, but you know it's okay. They started an improv group my junior year that I didn't get into because I was taking a double honors class that I failed. I'd like to think I at least partially failed that class because my parents were getting divorced at the time and I just didn't give a shit about school.
Yeah.
So I didn't get in the first year because of that. The second year I auditioned and the drama coach still didn't let me into the improv troupe, even though everyone knew I was into comedy. Everyone knew I was going to take comedy sports improv training classes. I remember he asked me to do an impression of a celebrity during the audition, and I chose to do an impression of Emo Phillips. Uh-huh. And apparently my drama coach had never heard of Emo Phillips. He just thought I was doing an impersonation of another friend of mine from the drama club who also did an impersonation of Emo Phillips.
Oh, God.
So, yeah. So I felt personally hurt and burned by my drama coach for not having let me in that, because it was humiliating. It was fucking humiliating that he didn't let me in.
Back bad memories for me, but I'll get into that next week.
So, yeah. But despite that, overall, I had a great time in drama club. If I think of anything else in the coming week, I'll make a note of it and tell a story about that later. Let's play another song. I have finally started working on my Hyperspasm 2.0 music project to start, you know, for lack of a better term, mixtaping, even though tapes aren't actually involved. Going back through my music library and finding songs that I can organize into lists and playlists for CDs and for MP3 players and stuff.
And you organize them by year, right?
Yeah, I'm organizing them by year, although the first batch is kind of difficult because it's 2004 and before, so it's actually, you know, more than just 1 year. It's, you know, miscellaneous discs of that were created in 2004 or earlier that all are being bunched into one category because that's the only way I could make sense to start it. So I started listening to some of that stuff, so this next track is from there, and it falls into the category of, I'm not sure if Carrie has heard this song before, but she'd probably enjoy it, and it features a female lead vocalist, so she'll like it. It's by Jeff and Maya Bonhoff, so here it is.
Fading fast. So you grab a bunch of pretzels and you try to make them last. Hiding out from Vera, your ever-patient wife. Sometimes a warm stool at the bar is better than a life. Are you hanging out at Cheers? Wasting a lot of time? Are you soaking up the beers? Did you just drink one of mine? Are you hanging out at Cheers? You're a genius since you've been coming here. A civil service savant who loves his mom and beard. Someday you'll find a woman who will treat you like a man. She'll get the arcane knowledge we don't understand. Are you hanging out at Cheers? Wasting a lot of time? Are you soaking up the beers? Did you just drink one of mine? Are you hanging out at Cheers? Thank you.
Hollywood is etched upon my mind. I recall that night on Jeopardy when you went down in flames, Flavin' King of Trivia. Now everybody knows your name. Are you hanging out at Cheese? Wasting a lot of time. Are you soaking up the beers? Did you just drink one of mine? Are you hanging out at Cheese? Wasting a lot of time. Are you soaking up the beers?
What's Luke plugging now?
Yeah!
What's that, the fool? What's that fool?
I'm the King Bron, okay?
Right now you can download Go to Bed by Ookla the Mock, What Do You Get, The Girl Who Has Everything by Steve Goody, I Can't Rap by Scooter Picnic, the Star Wars Hanukkah song by the great Luke Ski, I Am the Doctor by Devo Spice, The North Side of the Pole, Part 4, Red and Green by Money Shot Cosmonauts, Robert Lund and Spaff.com, Undead Elves, and Disney Song by Nuclear Bubble Wrap.
Yes, Lukeski.com store has things you can buy, so go there and buy things if you don't have them, or know people who have, you didn't get them a Christmas gift and you want to get them one late. Lukeski.com. The Dr. Nomeno show is awesome. You can listen to it and you can make requests. Go to drnomeno.com, drdemento.com.
You can request Pregnancy is Strange.
Yes, you can, and you should.
It's still strange. It hasn't stopped being strange.
Word. And then artbylukeski.com is my site for art that you can go to. Hey, what shade of pink are you wearing, Carrie?
I'm wearing a bubblegum pink hoodie from Kmart.
Yay!
And it fits.
And now it's time... I don't have any ignorant stories because I haven't really done much drawing.
And that's fine because we don't have time for them.
All right, so comments go at the end of the show. So here's comments about episode 54.
Insane Ian says, even though I haven't read nor seen these comics, I really enjoyed this episode. My only complaint was that Luke must have been pacing like mad as his voice kept fading in and out and it made hearing a lot of what he said difficult. Oh, and this TV series only existed in your head, so basically you're saying you're the kid from St. Elsewhere? Luke was behind the mic. He wasn't pacing.
Yes, and I understand that reference. Captain Nova says, Luke, I really want to read those comics. Not that I think it's good or bad, just feel left out. If you make a webcomic, I would be a fan. Not like your ego needs any more inflating. Check out The Radical Geek at radicalgeek.wordpress.com, your video podcast of the Geek Nation.
You're not left out because you're lesser. You're left out because you weren't paying as much attention.
So Ian and Captain Nova and others, if you want to get in on round two of the comic books being sent across the country so people can read them, email me at thegreatlukeski@gmail.com.
Address.
Email me your mailing address, and in the subject line put, like, COMICS in all capital letters, and I will add you to the next list of people who get to read the comics. So, Insane Ian, Captain Nova, others we're about to mention, do that, and you will be able to read comics so that you won't be left out. Here, Mad Mike.
Mad Mike says, Hero High was the show that ran with the Shazam cartoon. It was very good because, but Shazam was better. It didn't rerun much likely because of DC's issue with Captain Marvel. This was 81 and 82, so I can understand why you kids might not remember it. Get off my lawn. Did you want me to read this?
No. Sure, if you want.
I already...
Oh, all right. Well, then never mind, then.
Chuck Williams says...
Chuck Williams says,
Mad Mike, would it make you feel better to know that at least one other person remembers Hero High, and that you can buy all the complete series without the Shazam segments on DVD, or at least rent it from Netflix? Enjoyed this episode. Makes me regret even more that I didn't speak up in time to be included in the mailing list. Stupid brain not remember stuff good. 12-hour shifts and day-long sleep sessions on days off seem to wipe many details from my brain other than eats, sleep, work, pay bills. I recall enjoying the bits and pieces of Teenage Comedian that you included in the Gnome Improvement newsletter, and I support the notion of reviving updating it as a webcomic, as Kyle suggested. Considering that some popular webcomics have either profitably self-published hard copy collections or scored a deal with a publisher, it could function as a gateway to draw more fans into all things Luke Ski. Here's hoping everyone at Bad Rapport and all of my fellow freaks and geeks out there listening enjoy the holiday season, or at least survive it with a minimum of your sanity, or what passes for it, intact. So yeah, thank you, Chuck, and once again, email me at thegreatlukeski@gmail.com with comics and the thing with your mailing address. Here's a very short
Computer thing. King says excrement tattoo story is false. Visit Snopes.com. And yeah, I heard about that also.
Yes.
Between now and then, and it was like, oops, sorry.
I mean,
we delivered non-news.
And to be quite frank, when it comes to News of the Stupid, if we were to try to research every one of these to see if they weren't true, it would just be a huge waste of our time, because very seldomly are they not true.
Right. That was the first one that I know of.
Yeah.
Insane Ian says that was awesome.
We're moving on to comments about the video episode. Oh.
Does that mean we're going to talk about the video episode?
Sure. Or we can talk about it as we read comments or something.
Or you can not listen to this part if you haven't watched the video episode, because this is spoilers.
Yes.
Insane Ian says, that was awesome. Love all the puppets, but especially the one of me. Yeah, that's the best one. Thanks for making my puppet dreams come true. Do you want me to just read all of them and you can make comments?
Sure.
You did a lot more of the work than I did.
To comment on the Ian puppet, as I've gone along making these puppets, I'm getting better at making them, and Ian was the last puppet that was made, so it had the most amount of work put into it. You know, not that there was, you know...
It was intense.
Basically, at one point, I had the Ian puppet, like, nearly finished, except for it didn't have any eyebrows, eyelids, or under eyelids, and Sarah came home, and I'm like, okay, and I had, like, these felt pieces, like, all figured out, like, okay, which looks more like Ian? This version, or this version, or this version, or this version? And then she ended up saying that the version that had everything looked the most like Ian, so that's what I finished it.
Yeah, Ian, it's not just you being, you know... egotistical. It actually is, like, pretty much the awesomest puppet of all the puppets.
Although, you know, the newest batch of them that I've made, which includes the Flat 29 guys, Super Horse, and possible Oscar, I've kind of gotten better at making these puppets, so,
yeah.
Their outfits are a bit more detailed and stuff like that.
Captain Nova says, Luke, after seeing the puppets, I can picture Jim Henson in heaven with a smile and a tear in his eye after seeing this.
Aw, thank you.
Dan from Flat29 via Twitter says, Can I comment that that is totally awesome?
Yes, and...
my accent sucks.
Because they didn't know that I was making that, so they were kind of shocked and surprised by it. I believe Rich's comment via email was something along the lines of, that is the most amazing thing I have ever seen in my life. You've just made my Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I have sent a copy of just that video by itself to Dan, because they're going to include it as bonus content on their forthcoming album.
That's epic.
So that's very super
the
awesome.
Flat 29 video, incredible. Flat 29,
incredible.
Wildcard says, fantastic episode. Extra funny that those were all of Luke's figures. None were borrowed just for the show. Nope, none. Insane Ian's videos were perfect. Having heard some of the background details of the filming, this video is even more interesting. Next time, do the next video episode sooner, if Sarah lets you.
Yeah, I won't be able to do the next one until sometime after MarsCon and
baby birth.
Babiness will be a factor, but I definitely want to do them more often. So let's move on with comments.
Madman on the Loose says the video turned out a lot better than I could have imagined. My daughter really enjoyed seeing it.
Thank you, Ken.
He did a lot of puppetry.
Yes, Ken volunteered a lot of his time to come over and help me during the last few days of filming. So I am super appreciative of Ken and of Jared Perez. For their help.
Yes, they both did more than I did. Critter 42 says, loved the second video podcast. Seriously, did I see an entire set of Hardy's California Raisins figures? Would love to see another episode soon.
No, no, no. You saw three entire sets of California Raisins figures and a few fourth additionals. Yeah, back in the days...
That was like the most hilarious scene in that whole video.
Back in the day when me and my friends were in that 4-H... Me and my siblings were in that 4-H singing group that we would go to every week. That was back when the California Raisins were popular and Hardee's was doing their... you know, get a raisin with every meal, you know, deal. So every week after the rehearsal, we would, you know, beg Mom, can you take us over to Hardy so we can each get a California raisin meal? So that's how we ended up with all of those. And in fact, I made an animated film with them shortly after that. So I could dig out, I could throw that on YouTube and blow people's fucking minds.
Did Oscar ever say anything about that video?
Jared was on vacation.
Yeah,
and he emailed me today to say he just got back. Okay. And he's going to watch it. So no comment from Jared officially yet, but he's going to look.
Thomas E. Reed says, I have only one criticism and it's a minor one. Watch the way you move your puppet mouths. Take a look at the videos of how Jim Henson moved Kermit's mouth. He didn't move the mouth for every syllable Kermit said. That makes the mouth move too much. That being said, the expressions on the angry, monstrous Sarah puppet were hilarious. And he didn't... The puppet itself doesn't look angry and monstrous. It's just the way Sarah was moving it.
Yes, yes.
That's what I love about that.
I was actually trying to make Sarah's puppet look cute, you know.
It is cute, but the way she holds the mouth...
It's like if you scrunch up your hand like this while you're holding it and then shake it vigorously, it looks like it's going to kill you.
Luke's a master of visual...
Yes.
Visual aids on audio mediums. The expressions on the angry monster Sarah puppet were hilarious. She may become the Miss Piggy of these shows, and I hope there's going to be a lot more of them. And as always, the Carrie puppet was the cutest and most appealing puppet, and even resembles its human the most. I just hope the Sarah puppet doesn't get jealous. But I didn't realize until, you know, after our filming, which was done in a huge hurry, that I was like... I had the face at an angle the whole time. And I think I did in the last one, too, but it was less noticeable because it was on the other side. Anything to say about that, or should we move on?
I've noticed this, because I burned the original AVI onto a DVD, which we've watched, and then I also put it on YouTube. Somehow YouTube, the audio is slightly off. It's a fraction of a second, but it's slightly off.
I didn't even notice.
So it's like, if I could show you the DVD of it, the mouths sync up much better with what's happening than when you watch it on YouTube. But it's only by... The main part of the video where it's noticeable is during the Paul and Storm song, when it gets to the 17, 18, 19, 21, I wonder, it's like, I can see that, like, yeah, it's off a little bit. But anyway.
From YouTube, Breakman Z. Great episode, guys. You guys, I was wondering why Luke needed that picture from Jack and Jill, but now I get it. It all makes sense now, which is quite a feat for this show. I love the Sarah puppet, and seeing the Sponge Charlie Sheen pants picture just makes me go, "Wah!" All in all, great job, and hopefully there'll be more.
Yeah, that Charlie Sheen SpongeBob drawing. I tweeted at the time I drew that. I just drew one of the creepiest things I have ever drawn in my life.
Creepy. C. Pillsbury says, oh no, somebody beat me to the Paul and Storm puppets. I made a Jonathan Goulton for Dragon Con. Somewhere there's a video of him haunting Joko during Creepy Doll at a show. And P&S are on my list for sometime in the next couple of months. Once I'm done, I will be forced to challenge you to a P&S puppet off. That's a thing, right? Like a West Side Story dance off, but on Sesame Street?
That would be cool.
I don't think this is a listener, though, so...
Yeah.
Critter 42 said, are all those your figures, Luke?
Yes, they are. Well, technically, the Babylon 5 figures belonged to Sarah initially, but she ended up giving them to me at some point. So they are mine by way of Sarah.
Well, then they technically do belong to you.
Oh, and I should have mentioned that Paul and Storm was very nice to tweet about the puppet video on their Twitter feed. So
they even included my Twitter account, even though I did very little work. I wasn't even playing Carrie in that video. Jared Perez was. He did good.
But
he did better than I could have.
But it was nice that they tweeted about it. Flat29 tweeted about it and talked about it on Facebook. And
yes.
Ian did. And yeah, so coolness.
Sparkly Blue Fox says, bravo! What a great video! Thank you. Dr. Don 911 says, I'm SpongeBob motherfucking SquarePants! good title for this episode. with fucking, yes. You know, censored. Pudding Capacity says, I'm a puppet! Yay! Who's Pudding Capacity?
Ian.
Oh. Madman on the Loose says, glad I was able to be a part of this. It was as fun to make as it is to see. And then Power Salad said, okay! Thanks for the compliment. And Blasted Bill Putt says, quite awesome, guys.
So, yeah.
We made Bill jealous. He was jealous because they didn't have their video episode done at Doohan Con.
Yeah, well, we wanted to have...
part of the reason why we got it done for Doohan Con.
Yeah, we initially wanted to have it done for Con and the Cob, but we weren't able to get it done in time. So when I heard the rumors that Bill was going to try to get their video podcast done for Doohan Con, I said, okay, we got to get ours done by then, just arbitrarily, because I thought it would be fun to surprise them. And even though they didn't get theirs done, we still showed ours, and everyone there at Doohan Con really enjoyed it.
Yes.
And I even, you know, showed, I did like kind of freeze frame parts of the Flat 29 video to point out all of the hidden jokes that are in there.
Yes.
So.
I get surprised Bill this weekend. I just found out today Bill's staying at my house this weekend.
Yay! I just found out today that we're having a New Year's Eve party.
Yes. I knew about your house's New Year's Eve party before you did.
Yes. So, really quick, just to wrap up the initial discussion with, you know, my structure for the puppet things is that, like, I need to find short songs, like, for the first three we're going to be, like, pretty darn short songs, and then the fourth one will be, like, a slightly longer song, like, Flat 29 is the Flat for me is a 3-minute song. So it's like, you know, so kind of like last time where Kathy was the one where I went into more detail on editing.
Yeah.
This time around I went with Flat 29 is the Flat for me. So
I think we got to do some of our own songs at some point.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it's just a matter of... Well, actually, I don't want to give away any of the ideas, but I did think of some stuff for some of your material. But yeah, when I was making my list of ideas for this episode, I made a master list of ideas for songs that didn't necessarily need to be in this episode, but could be in future ones. So,
well,
you know, more ideas are forthcoming and stuff.
We can talk about it more next time, but right now I have to go fuck up Lee Sight's count by randomly appearing on the Fumpcast.
So the last thing... Oh, wait. Do we have anything else in the outline? I forgot.
We have any voice comments.
We don't have any voice comments, but I can remind people to make comments at badrapport.com, BADRAPPORT.com. Leave messages at 916-LUKESKY, that's 916-585-3754. Or you can leave an iTunes review, which I totally forgot to check.
Yeah, nobody's left one since June.
So the last song... I forgot to mention earlier, Ukul the Mock did the song Go to Bed, which is totally fucking epic. I'm so happy it's on the Fump. And we're going to close it with a song that you suggested, which I'm assuming you heard on Mishki, People of Walmart by Jessica Fretsch.
Yes.
And it's a song that really helps having the visual. So go to Google and search for People of Walmart by Jessica Fretsch. Don't look at the one on YouTube because for some reason the music has disappeared from it.
Huh.
But if you go to Google Videos, you can find it. And
Google
with the
Videos.
That has, you know, that has the version that has the song that goes with it that actually shows the images that they're talking about for everything in the song. So, yeah. One more thing before we go. My mom gave me this. She found it at everything's a dollar store so that we can have improved content in the coming year. So,
yay!
So we can, you know... Okay.
That's an improvement.
That's supposed to be a pogo stick, but...
There we go. We'll be just like the scope.
Yeah. We'll be just like the scope, unless they murder us.
That's awesome.
But they won't murder us.
Yay! Yay.
Or maybe they'll just murder me.
She doesn't listen to this, does she?
Who, my mom?
Your mom.
No.
Oh, God. Thank God.
So tune in next time when Carrie will say...
Think about goats!
I'm Luke.
I'm Carrie.
And this has been Bad Rapport.
And you better be thinking about goats.
Yes.
And if you weren't, you better start...
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Jamie Foxx, Santa Claus, Woodstock, butt floss, man dress, mother goose, mullet time, car got loose, dairy fruit, daycare, twilight, Kentucky hair, camp out, fishing line, golden guy, too much wine, pedicure race, fan horse, main ladies man, where's my shirt, where's my nurse, masters of the universe, they watch, rubber band, moonshine, wonderland, bozo, hang low, rocky picture, Herschel, see loud people.
You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.